And welcome to episode 2 of Shuffle the Pack podcast with myself, Gary Swan, and my co-host, James Wagstaff. How are you, James? How have you been?
Yeah, not too bad. Just got back from a nice sort of pre-season holiday, so to speak, but very much excited and ready to get going with the season. Very pumped for things to get started.
Jolly good. So you've had your own little pre-season out in Greece. That was nice. All right, we'll just jump straight into it. Pre-season, you mentioned, obviously, we've not really had one. How do you think that'll affect the sort of injuries in the first couple of weeks for the playing squad?
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to see, obviously, off the back of last night's game, there was a few injuries, nothing particularly major. I think there was a broken arm, which is to be expected. It's going to happen from time to time. But on the whole, they managed to get through quite clearly. Whether or not that'll be the case at the weekend, I mean, once we've got through sort of week one, we'll probably see a bit more in that respect. But no, I thought on the whole that the first game was without any very little live tackling during the sort of training camp and no pre-season games was actually quite a good standard. I was actually expecting it to be a fair bit worse, and so that's to see, and hopefully that we see that continued through the start of this week, really.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. Like last night's game was pretty. There's a lot of back and forth. It was quite exciting considering it was the first game of the season. Obviously, it was two very good teams. Obviously, you know, one won the Super Bowl, one got very far in the playoffs. So you'd expect it to be a good game. But even within that, within the lack of preseason games, it didn't look to be a lot of rustiness in it, if you know what I mean.
No, there was a few instances of a few missed tackles, and whether you put that down to just general one malaise that you tend to see sort of tackling is usually a little bit worse early in the season anyway. But outside of that, I thought that, from a standard point of view, it was actually a very good high standard. As you say, we are talking about two of the better teams in the league. So it'll be interesting to see when you've got your Jacksonville Jaguars and your Washington Redskins and see how those guys get on. But it was certainly a good opening game and whet the appetite for what's to come.
What a game that would be, the Washington football team against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That is a race to the bottom if ever I've seen one. Toilet bowl, I think.
There's been many suggestions over the years that they should always have that game at the bottom, end of the season, have the bottom two teams face off against each other for the first pick, so whoever wins and play instead of the Pro Bowl.
That's a phenomenal suggestion. I would watch all of that game all the time. I'd watch on repeat for the 9 months in between games, you know. All right, so obviously we are a Packers podcast, so I think the most important thing we need to do is to look at the game ahead on Sunday. We are recording this on a Friday, so we should have a couple of days to get this wrong, which is fine. How is the Minnesota squad shaping up against us, do you think? Like, do you think we'd be able to stop the run of Dalvin Cook and stop Adam Thielen producing, or do you think we've got enough about us to win?
Yeah, I think that from a matchup perspective, we actually match up pretty well against this current Vikings squad. That they lost quite a lot in the offseason, particularly at cornerback. They lost both Xavier Rhodes, who admittedly had a terrible season last season, but they lost him to the Colts, and then Trey Waynes also went to the Bengals. So at quarterback, they're looking very, very thin. So you're hoping that Aaron Rodgers can have the time. He can probably expose some of the younger guys they're bringing in to fill that. On offense, there's no doubt about it that Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen are both absolute superstars at their respective positions. Dalvin Cook shredded us last season in week two when we played him. One of his single-handedly turned the game back towards the Vikings. We ultimately pulled out the win, but certainly made it a lot closer than it needs to be. And that's certainly something I do worry about with such an X-factor like Dalvin Cook against what can only be described as a pretty poor linebacker crew for the Packers. We are really relying on Kirksey to come in and ground running, because outside of him, really very, very thin. They lost Kamal Martin to injury reserve, which is a big blow late in training camp, because he was, back by all accounts, having a very, very good camp. But even if he had been, it's still a very, very thin group. So, yeah, I think Dalvin Cook is one of the key matches, whether or not we're able to stop the run. Last season, in week 15, when we went to Minnesota and pulled out the big win to win the division, Za'Darius Smith and Kenny Clark were huge in the run game. They both managed to live in the Minnesota backfield, stop running the run at source. So hopefully another big game from both those two can help Coxie sort of head in for his first game, and we can just about do enough to stop sort of Cook.
Yeah, so you mentioned Coxie there. He's had a couple of sort of like less productive years, shall we say. But I mean, obviously we lost Blake Martinez in the off-season there, but is Coxie going to be able to pull up to that standard? Or is he just going to be like bang average as he has been? Or do you think he will make that step up again?
I mean, with Kirksey, from what I saw from his time in Cleveland, he was a very, very good player. But his difficulty was staying on the field. He's been very injury prone over the last few seasons. And it's really sort of hampered his career up to this point. I think paper, well, obviously the game's not played on paper, but on paper, I think it's an upgrade for Martinez. I think Martinez, a lot of Packers fans would probably agree, had an awful lot of flaws. Particularly when he dropped it into coverage. So I'm not, wasn't that sad to see the back of Martinez. I thought they might bring in a few more players to strengthen that room. Unfortunately, that hasn't sort of been the case. I thought they might have approached that in the draft. But I still think that if Kirksey can stay on the field, it is an upgrade over Martinez, and hopefully we'll see the of that.
All right, cool. I had sort of similar thoughts. Like, you know, he's if Kirksey can get to the form he has hit previously and can stay healthy, he should be good enough, I would imagine. But I don't think he's better than Martinez overall. I think this, we kind of maybe took a small step back there. But there's not really much we can do about it just now. So, what about the safety duo for the Vikings? We've got Harrison Smith and Anthony Harris. They're arguably the best pairing in the league at the minute.
Yeah, I'd struggle to disagree. They really are great. Harrison Smith's had some huge games against the Packers down the years. One of those players that you kind of have to begrudgingly respect just because he's such a high standard for so long. They're certainly a great pair. I think, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, you're going to probably want to stay away from the middle of the field and really go after, so Aaron Rodgers really want to go after those two young corners. As opposed to, because any over the middle of the field, I think that he might have a bit of a torrid day. So, yeah, that is clearly a massive strength for this Vikings team and an area to avoid for Rodgers.
Yeah, you mentioned the corners there. I looked at a stat not long ago, maybe about an hour or so before we started recording this. I think the average age of the Vikings cornerbacks are about 23, 24, something like that, which is not a lot of experience in across the whole board. I think that would probably be the place to attack if we're going to attack anywhere. Looking at the last five results head-to-head, we've won two, Vikings have won two, and there's a tie in there as well. History going back a little bit further suggests to me that the Vikings might be stronger, but I can't find myself seeing past the Packers to win this game. Do you know what I mean? I think we've probably got enough about us to pull out a decent result. It might be close, but I think we'll get there. I don't think that an empty stadium is going to help the Vikings in any way as well, you know.
Obviously, I'm always going to look at it with my sort of green spect on, but I personally think that we do match up quite well. I think there was a bit of a fear factor for this Packers side going to Minnesota for a while. It's obviously, it is a stadium that gets very, very loud comparatively to some stadiums in the NFL. Obviously, that's not going to be a factor, but going there last season with the division on the line in prime time and doing what the Packers did, I think that really sets them up well because they have finally got that first win at the stadium. So personally, I think that there are very good memories from going there last season. And I think that from a matchup perspective, I do expect the Packers to go in there and win.
That makes complete sense. It's basically agreeing what I said, which is handy because I always like when people agree with me. You know, it makes me feel a lot better about my day. Devontae Adams, let's just quickly just address him. He's obviously the number one receiver for this season. He got less than 1,000 yards this year, last year, sorry. But do you think he can make 1,500, 2,000 maybe this year if he's like the only real outlet that Rodgers has?
Yeah, I mean, from a fantasy football perspective, I know obviously he goes very, very high in drafts. Last season, he was sort of under 1,000, but obviously he did miss the four-game window. Mm-hmm. And he was obviously very close to breaking 1,000-yard mark, even with missing. So there's no doubt him and Aaron Jones are going to continue to be the focal point of this offense. And obviously with the talent around aren't they? There's not an awful lot there. You're really hoping that, as I say, one of MBS or Lazard really steps up this season, because, as I say, there's not an awful lot outside of those two guys and Devontae. So I'm expecting have a pretty big year this season. I think 1,500, even 1,700 is very, very possible this season, given what's outside alongside him.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the whole roster here on the owlads.com website, who I've never heard of before, but they've got the whole thing, so we'll roll with them. The depth chart is minimal. You know, it's almost embarrassing. We've got four tight ends and four running backs, but I mean, three of those have been drafted this year, in Josiah DeGuara and AJ Dillon, for example. But beyond that, there's not a lot of depth overall. You know, there's obviously the practice squad's been expanded this year, I think, to what, 16 players?
Spots, yeah, because of COVID, so it is bigger than usual. But yeah, for talent wise, there's not an awful lot out there. There's obviously some superstars in Rodgers, Jones, and Monte, as we've mentioned, and then some guys, as you say, as MBS and Lazard, who've flashed here and there. But outside of that, you're really hoping sort of St. Brown can really come on. They drafted him a couple of seasons ago, and he's not really done an awful lot, has made the roster this year. Outside of that, perhaps Tyler Irvin. They mentioned in camp that he lined up quite often in slot, so perhaps he will offer something. He was a revelation when he came in last season.
It'd be nice if some of the practice squad guys got, like, I mean, it'd be unfortunate in the circumstances if it was because there was like a COVID outbreak or like a serious injury. But it'd be nice if some of the practice squad guys could sort of step up and take some of the heat, because I see we've got like a few wide receivers on the practice squad, so we should probably try and shuffle them into the main squad, you know, in the actual day-to-day squad, if you like. But whether we do or not, whether they produce enough in training and practice, then I don't know. But I mean, I don't really think there's enough there in the practice squad apart from Irvin, as you say, but I still don't think there's enough depth. I think we need another couple of drafts to make like another good go for a Super Bowl myself, which is a hot take if you like, but yeah. Is there anything I've missed you would like to speak about this week, James?
Well, as I say, the only other things I think that's worth sort of noting is for this particular matchup last season, Aaron Jones pretty much had his way with the Vikings. I think in week two, 116 yards and one touchdown, and then week 16, 150 yards and two touchdowns. So he really went off in both games, going well over 100 in both games, and worth keeping an eye on. He matches up well. Obviously, likes playing the Vikings, so hopefully he can continue that form. But outside of that, no, sort of prediction time. We're going to try and make a weekly segment each week where we try and pick the winners and get as close as possible, and then see at the end of the season we can see who's got the finger on the pulse, so to speak.
I'm just gonna put my input in here and say it's probably going to be you that's got your finger closer to the pulse than myself, but we'll see how we end up at the end of the season. I've got myself down for 23-16, a Packers win.
Okay, well, we didn't discuss this, but it's pretty close. I've actually gone a slightly bigger, but 27-17 is what I've written down as my prediction for the Pack to come out of week 1-0. So we're both obviously looking quite confident. We could very much end up with egg on our face in a few days' time. But hopefully that's not the case. Put that positive energy out into the universe, and hopefully come sort of 9:30 on Sunday night, we'll be cheering.
Well, hopefully by 10 o'clock Sunday night, we'll have a much better view of what we're talking about, and it might even sound like we know what we're talking about by next week. We don't know. We'll soon find out. Eh? On that note, that's probably like a fairly good place to put a pin in this for this week, unless there's anything else.
No, I think we touched on most bases. I'm absolutely buzzing for the season to start after a very long and arduous off-season, not just for the weight that we usually have to endure, but other reasons. It's good to just be talking about some football that's actually about to happen. So yeah, very excited for the season to start, and can't wait to sort of discussing the ups and downs of this season. Really,
I'm just so happy the football's back. Like the Chiefs Titans games was on at like 1:20 local time for us, and I genuinely considered having like a nap about 10 o'clock at night just so I could make sure I was awake to watch the whole thing. You know, It's a bit kind of, it's like staying up late for like watching a terrible film on Channel 5 when you're like 15 or whatever else, you know what I mean? It's just like getting really excited for it. But on that note, we'll leave you there. I'll say goodbye from myself and from yourself, James. If any listeners want to follow us on Twitter, we are at ShufflePack. We're part of the at First and Ten network. And you can email anything to us at shufflethepack@gmail.com.
Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go.